Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, thank you for tuning to the Beacon Broadcast on this Thursday, August 4. Let me encourage you to write for our Sermon of the Month, number 8, entitled The Faith That Honors God. The text is Matthew 8, 1 through 13. And it's yours simply upon request if you'll write and give us the call letters of the station where you are listening to the Beacon Broadcast. The address, once again, is the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Our study in the book of Romans has brought us to the 18th verse of the 4th chapter, which says, "Who, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." And this is breaking in upon Paul's discussion of the life of Abraham as an illustration of justification by faith alone. And what we learn here is that Abraham's exercise of faith was not easy. It did not come naturally, and it did not come without difficulties and obstacles, which should be a great encouragement to us because we find that exercising faith in the promises of God is sometimes a very difficult matter. And maybe we think that Bible characters like Abraham and Daniel and who knows else, David and the other wonderful characters, Joseph and the others in the Bible who so honored the Lord with their faith, sometimes we might think that to them it was just easy to believe God. For us it is so hard to believe God, and we might wonder why that is so. Well, let me make one thing very clear. Apart from the grace of God and the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, none of us will believe the promises of God. But even with the operation of God's grace in our soul, we will not find believing the promises of God to be a simple matter. It will not always be easy, though sometimes it may be, but many times it will be with great difficulty, with great wrestlings of soul, with great agony, with great overcoming obstacles, and that is exactly what is described of Abraham in Romans 4:18, who, against hope, believed in hope. Now, what is hope? Someone has defined Bible hope as the present enjoyment of future realities. It is very closely linked to faith because it requires a settled assurance that God's word is true. You can't enjoy what God has promised in the future if you don't believe what God has promised for the future. We talk sometimes about our heavenly hope. And see, the very word hope carries with it the idea of buoyancy, of optimism, of joy. That's why it is not precisely the same as faith, but it is so closely linked to it that it's very difficult to separate them completely. But the idea of hope does carry the idea of joyful anticipation, of buoyant expectation. We use it, of course, even in the secular realm that way. Someone is hoping to receive an inheritance. They anticipate that it will come. They are expecting it. Of course, sometimes those things don't happen as expected, and they bring great disappointment, but they are hoping for an inheritance. I'm thinking of someone that I know was living his life waiting for an inheritance which seemed never to come. And unfortunately, in this particular case, it seemed to be a deterrent to his, what should I say, his diligence now, because he was always waiting for this inheritance to come and to bail him out. And it's really kind of a sad thing in many ways, because for the inheritance to come, one of his parents had to die. One had already died, and the other one had to die, and then presumably he would receive the expected inheritance. So he was hoping for that inheritance to come. There was a certain anticipation. There was a hopeful anticipation. There was something good that he was expecting to come. But before it could come, one of his parents had to die. But unfortunately, in this case, as I say, he was not diligent to his present obligations, because he was waiting for a bailout, which didn't seem to come in a timely fashion. Well, that carries with it some of the ideas of biblical hope, but I think a biblical hope is different, but biblical hope is based upon a settled assurance that God's word is true. Back to the idea of a heavenly hope. What do we mean by our heavenly hope? I have a heavenly hope. Well, we hope to go to heaven. What does that mean? Well, that means that we believe that the Bible is true. We believe the word of God. We believe that there is such a thing as heaven, and presumably also believe that there is such a thing as hell. We believe that we are going to heaven, and we must have some reason for thinking so. And again, it would have to be grounded upon the Bible, the word of God, that those who trust in Jesus Christ are going to heaven. We have some idea of what heaven is like, and we are looking forward to that, to a time when there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more disappointment, when all of our sorrows will be behind us forever, when we will be with the Lord, and when all the effects of sin and the curse will be removed from our lives, and when we will spend eternity rejoicing in the goodness of God and the greatness of His grace. And this, perhaps along with some other things, we would call our heavenly hope. We are looking forward to it, and it does give us a certain joyful and buoyant anticipation in the present, because understanding that someday all of our trials will be over makes it easier to bear those trials that we are facing now. The songwriter said, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All sorrows will..." Now I can't remember the exact words, but you probably know the song. And the phrase that I quoted accurately is enough to make the point. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. What will be worth it all? All of the toils and difficulties and disappointments and trials, and particularly the persecutions that have come upon us because of our faith in Christ. For you see, faith in Christ, far from removing trials from us, actually adds a few more to us. You do understand that, don't you? All of us, as sons of Adam, have those trials and difficulties which accompany human existence upon the earth. All of us, saved or lost, are going to face illness. All of us, saved or lost, are going to face death, our own. And before we die, we're going to face the death of some of our loved ones. All of us, saved or lost, are going to have to struggle sometimes with difficult financial situations, loss of job, loss of investments, and so forth and so on. All of us, saved or lost, are going to deal with friends and relatives who will disappoint us, perhaps some people who will betray us, and various broken relationships, which all of these things are as a result of sin and the curse and the kind of world that we live in because of the Adamic fall. All of us face these things and many more that I could name. And then, on top of that, To be a follower of Jesus Christ brings with it extra trials and tribulations which attach themselves to people specifically because they are Christians. If the world hated me, said Jesus, then you can know that it will hate you also. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If his Lord was persecuted and hated and was maligned and was opposed and was ridiculed and was persecuted for no other reason, than that he stood for truth and righteousness, which is hated by those who do not believe in truth and do not appreciate God's righteousness, then why should it be any different for followers of Jesus Christ? It will be the same. And so blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And so forth. Therefore, we have all kinds of trials in life, and especially we have those that attach themselves to followers of Jesus Christ who are simply endeavoring to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to obey the Bible, to do things God's way, not trying to make things hard for people around us, not trying to irritate others, not trying to be intentionally abrasive. We don't have to be intentionally abrasive. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our belief in the Bible as God's Word will automatically make us abrasive to many people. The only way we can avoid that is say nothing, do nothing, disappear from sight, get out of their way, get out of their lives, don't have a job with anyone around you who doesn't know the Lord, don't live in a neighborhood with anyone around you who doesn't know the Lord, don't have any friends or relatives who don't know the Lord. I mean, it's impossible. In fact, that's not God's will for us. Christ did not save us to take us out of this world. Christ saved us to leave us in this world, and he makes that very clear. And he prays for the Father not to take his children out of the world, but to protect them from the evil that is in the world. And he will do that. God the Heavenly Father will fulfill his Son's request, and he will preserve and protect his blood-bought children. You can be sure of that. But there are difficulties. And so it is our hope of that heavenly promise, that heavenly hope, that heavenly anticipation, which makes it easier to bear these trials. Why would we bring upon ourselves extra trials beyond the common lot if there were no heaven, if there were no salvation, if there were no future, if there was no time when we would be forever with the Lord, if the grave was all, if that was the end, if there is no eternity, there is no salvation, then why would we bring these things upon ourselves unnecessarily? We would not. But because of our heavenly hope, we can anticipate the wonderful joys of that day, and we can begin to enjoy them now, and that will enable us to face the difficulties that come upon us in this life, because those are temporary. Those will be soon over. Those are only for a time, but our joys in heaven are forever. But of course, all of that depends upon faith, believing the Word of God, having a settled assurance that God's Word is true, and if we do, then we will have wonderful hope. And Abraham hoped against hope. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.